Random thought. Is there any expense that's too high to save a pet? And I asked this because I came across the story. It was a woman that had a pet, and the pet had wound up having some heart problems. And so, long story short, she paid $10,000 to save this pet. Now, the interesting part is the pet is a chicken. So she bought a chicken for $12.
So the pet was dinner. Gotcha.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
So she bought a chicken for $12. And was taking care of the chicken, would dress the chicken, you know, put diapers on. Similarly how people do dogs. Take the chicken everywhere she went. You know, the chicken would sleep next to her. She fed the chicken like human food. But she paid $10,000 to save a chicken because the pet insurance, surprising that she had pet insurance on a $12 chicken, but the pet insurance she had didn't cover the procedure because it wound up being a pre-existing condition that the chicken had. And so she spent $10,000 to save this chicken. So is that too much?
You're asking the wrong person, first of all. Before you even get the question back out, you're asking the wrong person, okay? You know, because I am not the biggest pet lover. I'm the one that when my sister bought me a cat, right? And the cat and I just kept getting arguments because...
Stop right there.
Kept wanting to go outside.
You and the cat kept getting into arguments?
Hey, follow along. If this woman can have a pet chicken, I can get in an argument with a cat, okay? You leave me the hell alone. And I told this cat one last time. I'm like, hey, you run outside one more time, then you're staying out here. Cat tried my gangster. It became an outside cat. You're asking the wrong person. You're asking the person that grew up in the Caribbean where, you know where dogs are kept? Outside. They're not home animals. Cats were inside. Dogs were outside. Okay. You know, you don't go walking a dog. A dog could walk around the yard because we actually had yards. Mm. Okay. So you're talking to the wrong person when you bring this kind of thing up. Because how much would I spend? How much did you pay for it? $12?
$11.
Matter of fact, and that depends on how long you've had it. Because there's a, just like you treat it like a car, depreciating value, right? $11 this first year, $10 the next year, $9 the year. After that, it becomes dinner. And that's what it should be. I've seen a show where people are like, oh, was it 90 Day Fiance? And they had a goat, and they're like, oh, well, this is going to be a pet. A pet? No, we're going to eat this.
I think, you know, had I read that story and it was someone's dog that they've had for 5 years, I don't think anybody would be shocked or bat an eye at it. I'm sure there's some people out there that would be like, there's just no way in the world I'd just get a new dog.
I am anybody.
I'd just get a new dog for $2,000. But I totally get it. But I do think it's a freaking chicken, right? It's just a chicken. Now, to me, I can't imagine doing that for a chicken. But some people, they take their love of pets to a whole nother level that obviously you and I don't have. I've never had an argument with a pet because it's my house. I'm winning. There's no argument.
I won that argument. I won that argument.
No, y'all argued for a while first, and then you said, try me.
But I wasn't spending $10,000 on that damn cat, just like she spent $10,000 on a chicken. Do I need to ask you what this woman looked like?
No, you don't.
Okay,
yeah, you know exactly. You know what she looks like. If the chicken dies, do you cook it? Like, I mean, would that be wrong? Like, you took care of it. It died of natural causes. You plucked the feathers. You batter it up. Put some seasoning on it. Put it in the grease. And you're just like, oh, you were such a good bird. Oh, I'm going to miss you so much.
No, you got to kill that. You can't eat something that just died. You've got to kill it, and then you can eat it. There's a difference.
So if the chicken is having a heart attack, if you just snap its neck real quick before the heart attack does it, then you can cook it. But if it dies from the heart attack,
yeah, and then you eat that chicken, like, and you know, you'll fry that chicken like you know, like your people do. You'd fry that chicken, and then you'd have a heart attack right along with the chicken. See, that's why we don't keep chickens as pets. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, crazy like this one. We are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 66. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
Yes, and congrats again out to Destiny, who picked up the $100 from right out of Terrell's back left pocket.
Yep, did send it to her. I was hoping, I was like, I hope this is the right one. I hope it wasn't some random person that created a cash app account called themselves Destiny Rogers.
Actually, I'm $100 richer today because it was me. So lots been happening in the news recently. You know, of course, if your name is Cuomo, there's been a lot of bad news. You know, Cuomo used to be reporting the news, and now Cuomo is the news.
Yeah. It's amazing how you could be up here 1 minute and then down here the next. And for Chris Cuomo to, you know, be jobless, it's an interesting story. And I get it. You know, you want to try to help your brother, you know, when you can. But I'm like, come on, Chris. Keep an eye on that.
They were, but, you know, here's the difference. I mean, his brother was governor of New York. He is the man on CNN. And sometimes you feel untouchable, right? I mean, here he is. He is working as one of CNN's top anchors, but yet he's also working as an unpaid aide to his brother, which you can understand why he's going to help his brother out. It's family. They're in politics. He's going to do this. I'm not going to do anything to jeopardize my job, but I'm going to help you out wherever I can. Now, when those lines begin to blur at some point, that's when it becomes an issue. And I wonder, is it because he wouldn't, you know, what's the real issue in a lot of this? Because I haven't done a lot of deep diving into this story, to be quite honest with you. Mm-hmm. I saw when they suspended him. As soon as they suspended him, I went, well, that's it. Something that Fox News won't do, but, you know, all right, CNN's going to do it. That's cool. And then all of a sudden, now he's fired. You know, digging around to find out what's going on, what they're going to report on his brother, and then informing his brother. I think even reporting to his brother's aides instead of directly to his brother, which, if y'all are this close that you're trying to help him out, do you not have his number?
Have a burner phone. A burner phone that no one can trace. Just, hey, heads up. Turn your TV on. This is coming. Yeah, something.
Yeah.
But why would you go through his aides? Why would you have anything that's traceable? That just doesn't make sense. Now, here's what I wonder is this. I'll go down the conspiracy theory path. Remember when the pandemic first started and Cuomo was having his, Governor Cuomo was having his daily deals, and you had a lot of people that were saying that his updates were better than president's updates.
Yeah.
He was getting a whole lot of attention. And then look what happens after that. Mm-hmm. And then same for Chris Cuomo. Chris Cuomo's had, he's very opinionated. He said a lot of different things and you reach a certain level and then they go after you and you come down. So I don't know. I find that interesting that both of them at their levels have, you know, I wouldn't say they're going to hit rock bottom because, you know, they're not going to have to fill out resumes to look for jobs. I mean, they'll be fine. But
yeah, at all.
Yeah, they'll be fine. But still, I just find it very interesting how you could be up here and then all of a sudden, maybe that's the thing. Don't get too famous. Don't make too much noise. Make noise, but not too much noise.
Well, it depends on the kind of noise you're making. And see, here's the problem I have. Is that even, and again, I have not, pardon my ignorance on this, but I have not done a deep dive into everything, and I really haven't been paying attention to this story that much, right? But even if he warned him and said, hey, this story's about to come out. We've all watched the movies. We've all watched TV shows where they make that call. Hey, Terrell, this story's about to come out in the morning. Would you like to give a statement? You know, I don't understand what now. Obviously, there's more, and you know, they're saying there's a lot of text messages that they read between him and the aides and whatnot, and it's a conflict of interest somewhere in there. Then yes, you can understand where that comes in. But at some point, if a judge can recuse themselves from a case because they're involved, or you know, you have different professions where you can do that, then in the media, you should be able to not. I am not going to report on this story. So here's my great friend, or at least I like to say so, Don Lemon. you tell him how bad my brother is, or not. Now, if he was telling everybody else, don't you say anything bad, and using his influence at CNN to make sure the story was always had a positive spin, that I can understand. However, if it's just that, trying to help his brother out, and he even came out, hey, I advise my brother.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, hush your mouth. But, well, you know, it doesn't matter now. He's going to be gone. And looks like Chris Wallace from Fox News is going to take his spot.
Mm-hmm.
Which that'll
that should be interesting.
That'll be interesting. Because now to see if he can just spin it the other way now. He would spin it to the right. Now he's going to spin stuff for the left.
Well, he also was pretty hard on both sides, too. So he would be hard on Democrats and hard on Republicans, too. Probably a little harder on Democrats than he was on Republicans. But, you know, money talks, and that way you lean kind of goes according to which pocket they put the money in. So,
well, exactly. Exactly. Is that going to put it in my left pocket? All right. We're going left. Left it is.
Exactly.
And I don't know what's going on with CNN, because you see the story about the CNN producer that got arrested for...
Hey.
So this story is just, I really want to follow this one because this one was mind-blowing. So he got arrested for contacting these mothers and talking mm-hmm. them into teaching their young daughters, anywhere from 9 to 16, how to be subservient to men because they're inferior. And he would train them and also teach them how to sexually satisfy men. And so he paid, and this is all through like Kick and Google Hangouts and all this stuff. He paid a mom $3,000 and for her to fly her and her 9-year-old daughter from Boston to Boston from Nevada. He picks them up, mm-hmm. takes them to his house, and there he, with the mom's aid, performs sex acts on a child. And then he also offered to do his services virtually to another mother and her 16-year-old daughter, where he would tell them what to do and they would like touch each other. And I'm just
like, who are these moms?
Yeah. She needs to be arrested too.
You mean she's not? I mean, no. I'm assuming they were in jail cells next to each other, or at least somewhere in the say in the confines. Because this cannot be just only, yes, he needs to be under the jail. You know who else? The mom.
Yeah, let's just say not yet. Right now, they picked him up.
You know, it's bowl season time as we switch over to the love of sports. And this came up a couple years ago, but here we go again. Mike Leach, who's head coach over at Mississippi State, he used to be at Texas Tech back when they had basically the newest version of the run and gun offense when Texas Tech was making some noise for a while. Now, he's at Mississippi State. And he came out saying that it's, you know, absurd for players to skip out on or to opt out of the bowl games because they're entering the NFL draft because they started something and they need to finish it. And Ed Orgeron, who used to be the coach for LSU this last go around, did the same thing a couple of years ago when LSU was going to face Notre Dame. I think it was in the Citrus Bowl. Yeah. And he was like, you know, players need to play. And then I did some research because, of course, they're playing Notre Dame. So I'm like, Ed Orgeron, first of all, shut up. Second, why are you so upset? Come to find out, had LSU won that bowl game, he would have gotten a $1 million bonus. So it was beneficial to him for all of his players to play so he could win that game. Better chance to win that game. But what's the benefit to the student athletes, right? I mean, they're entering the NFL draft. One more game could mean anything. You know, in any point in any game, something can happen. You've already played the entire season. I gave you my season. What else do you need? You've got these guys that are going to be here next year. I'm not. I'm going to be in the NFL. I'm a first-round draft pick. I'm going in. So here you go. Why do you need me to play? Because I'm risking millions of dollars. Because the difference between a first-round pick and a second-round pick is a big difference. So... Mm-hmm. Is it fair to criticize these students when you're not paying them? First of all, at least legally, let me say that, legally. You're not paying them to play. So why are you mad if they're not playing one more game?
Yes, it's fair to criticize these athletes for sitting out. So, really? Yes, I believe it is. And here's my thoughts. HR. Here's my thoughts on it. And I got to look this up, but I believe Deion Sanders was speaking around this same thing too, about you know, when you were young, you couldn't quit. You had to complete the season. You had to play the whole thing. You know, if you didn't like it, well, too bad. You're going to ride it out until the very end. I think that's what these players should do. Now, I'm not saying they have to play the whole game, but you have a fan base and you have alumni, you have students who've supported you throughout the whole season. Why would you not finish the bowl game? Because the students and fans, they still want to win. The coaches get paid for a lot of reasons throughout the year, you know, for even regular season games. They get paid for those too. So, yeah, could they get a bonus if they win a bowl game? Sure. But I think it's important that you play for the fans. Now, you don't have to play the whole game, but it's very similar. In the NBA, you have when coaches would make some of their star players sit just to save them for, you know, for a lot of the year, fans would get pissed. If I paid to see LeBron, I want to see LeBron play. And if LeBron's healthy, there's nothing wrong. Why is he not playing? Just because, you know, this is just XYZ team. And it's no big deal. We don't need him to play for that. Well, all these people paid to go see him play. Jordan played all his games because he knew people would come to see him play. So
you know the difference between them?
No, they get paid, LeBron, and the players are.
And Jordan?
Yeah.
And the college players? What's the difference?
Yeah, they're not getting paid. But that's what they signed up for. I mean, I totally wish college athletes got paid. I totally wish they did. But don't sign up to do something and then bitch about it. It's like if you decide to be a teacher in year two, you're like, this is ridiculous. I don't make any money. Well, you knew that going into it. So don't complain.
Would you rather they lie? Oh, I twisted my ankle in the shower. Let me hobble on the sideline.
Sure. Hey, you got hurt.
So you'd rather them lie?
Yeah. Say you got hurt. Say you got hurt. But to sit out just so you can go to the combine, and a lot of them don't even participate in the combine sometimes. And they're still going to go to the NFL. They're still going to get drafted. But who says if you were the leading rusher for all NCAA. Now, yes, they would want you in that bowl game. You take Georgia, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You got, what's his name that just...
Bryce Young.
Bryce Young just won the Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
And if he planned to go to the NFL next year, which I hope he doesn't, he's not ready. But let's say he did. Should he sit out of that bowl game? Playoff game?
I'm not saying that they should sit out. I'm saying if they want to, that's their choice. And here's the difference. Bryce Young would want to play because he wants to prove that he can win, because Alabama quarterbacks haven't done shit in the NFL in a long time. Okay, let's be clear about that. They may have won in college, but they don't do jack in the NFL. But the other thing about this, like Leonard Fournette, he sat out that bowl game. Christian McCaffrey, he sat out the bowl game before they entered the draft, right? They both did that because they were projected number one, round one picks, right? Now, here's the thing. Now, if you're talking about a sixth round, seventh round pick, I get it, because I would advise that person, play anyway, because you could raise your draft stock because more eyes are watching that game, right? So you could do that. But if you're the first round pick already, no, I have no problem if you want to sit out. Why? Because it's like when, and you're a recruiter, so you understand this part, and you've been in HR. When a company's ready to get rid of somebody, they don't hesitate, you're out. Same thing with NFL teams and all these pro teams, right? Or even the college teams, they want to cut somebody, they cut them. No questions asked, no regrets, no nothing. But yet when, and I've seen this happen a number of times, you've got somebody who wants to leave and go pursue something else, whether it is within, you know, outside the industry or just, hey, I'm just ready to be done. People get upset that they want to leave because it's leaving you as the manager in a predicament, because you're without somebody because you don't have the replacement already sitting there to fill in. Well, here's the problem. When you were getting ready to cut them, did it matter? No.
That's not apples to apples.
It's the same thing. Coaches leave all the time before the season's over. If coaches can leave, the players can stop playing. Well, stop that. And the coaches are paid.
If the coaches leaves, the coach is leaving, right? And the player who could totally, you don't have a coach.
He's leaving too.
You don't have a coach that says, you know what, I don't want to coach the bowl game. I'm good.
Yeah, if he's leaving, Brian Kelly did.
Yeah.
Brian Kelly did because he left.
Right, but he's already left. He's gone. It's not like, hey, I'm going to finish. Because in some cases, you have coaches that finish the season out, including a bowl game, knowing that they're going to be going to XYZ school, you know, next season. So it happens. But for, imagine Joe Burrow, right? He was going to be the number one pick.
Yes.
He played all of his games.
Okay.
Now, he knew before the playoffs, he knew he was going to be a top-rated quarterback pick.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying if you were the coach of LSU, you'd have been okay with him saying, you know, I'm probably going to be a number one pick. I don't want to play in the playoff and the championship game. I'm just going to go ahead and sit out and get ready for the combine. And you'd be like, fine, that's your choice?
Yes. You know why? Yeah. Because here's the difference. I'll tell you why. You know the guy that you have sitting behind center, right? So as your quarterback, you know what this guy's made of, built of, and all this. So you know he's not going to sit it out. You knew Joe Burrow wasn't going to sit it out because he wanted to be able to say, I won this championship. And there's some players that are going to do it and some that are not. But what's better? Somebody who wants to play or somebody who doesn't want to play? You don't want to play? Cool. Yeah, you won't be on the sideline either. Get your ass out. We're good. Plain and simple. You want to opt out? Opt out. Just don't be on the sideline with the rest of the team. We're good. We don't need you anymore. You don't want to be here? That's fine. But to force somebody to play just because you want to make your bonus? Nah, bruh. That ain't cool.
Now, we can agree to disagree on this one. I think you signed up to play. You play. And I get it. You don't have to play the whole game. If that's your case, say, hey, coach, odds are I'm going to be number one draft pick in the NFL. I'll play this bowl game for the first quarter.
Mm.
And that way the coach has a plan. But mm-hmm. these bowl games are important to not just the coaches and their bonuses. It's important to the schools. It helps with recruiting for these schools. It's important to the students. It's important to the alumni. And it's important to the teammates who were with you on the sidelines in practices all season to get to this
That's
moment.
That's so Disney movie.
Yeah. So
that's very Disney movie.
Thank you.
I like it. Thank you. It sounds good. It sounds good. But the school's looking out for the school. The school don't give a shit about the players. We know that because they would have paid them a long time ago and wouldn't be fighting against paying them now.
Yeah, you should play. You signed up, you should play. Put your helmet on, get out there, play.
Fight the power, goddammit. Take a knee. Colin Kaepernick this shit.
Too many Kyrie Irvings running around trying to have their feelings and decide when they want to and when they don't want to play. No. You signed up, you're
don't
on the
complain
team.
Somebody wants to you sit play. Out. Some bullshit.
Play. That you hurt, play.
You know, I just realized we haven't talked about your guy today. I mean, he's definitely going to be playing when it comes to the election season coming up. Ted Cruz, what has he done this time around?
Nothing big in the news this time, but still, I'm still on my mission to remind people to vote him out. You know, I was listening on the news and they're talking about what Texas is doing to get ready for the winter. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, historically, you normally don't have back-to-back weather events,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially in Texas. Like if it snows here, it'll be years before that happens again. Even though we're dealing with climate change, I get that. The odds on us going through what we went through in February of last year are slim. So all these people on cameras talking about, here's what we're doing to prepare for this. I'm like, yeah, you can say all that stuff because you know it's not going to happen. You know,
no, I'll tell you why they're doing it, right? And it's the silliest thing when you're in the South and you have people from the Midwest and from up North who come down and they're like, oh my God, they're acting like it's about to be a blizzard. And I'm like, stop it. This area is not known for being able to handle this kind of stuff, right? So if you know there's a little bit of rain, it could be ice, you want to keep the people off the roads, they're shutting down businesses, they're like, oh my God, we used to walk to school in 6 inches of snow uphill both ways. You know, I'm like, okay, who cares? That was up there. You chose to live up there. Your parents chose to have you grow up there. We're here in the South. They're not accustomed to this. What happened when you don't plan for shit like that is what happened in Atlanta years ago. I remember this one, I don't remember what year it was. Might have been late 2000s when they had that big ice storm and cars were stranded on the interstate mm-hmm. and people just got up and just left their cars because there were hours and hours on the interstate. And there's a reason for that, because you're not accustomed to it, right? I remember my first winter in Detroit, and because I got there in the middle of winter, right? Well, I say the middle because it was February, and it really is, because winter doesn't end in Detroit till like May. So, and I'm not lying, this is true. But the first snowfall, when I walked into the office, I'm like, yeah, in Richmond, they would have shut the whole city down. They're like, for what? I'm like, we're not prepared for this.
Right.
And then if you travel on the, my God, just like that, it's through Ohio, right? And they've got these big structures. And I was like, what is in those structures? Because you see them in so many intervals. Realize it's just mountains of salt that's in there. So they're prepared for the roads. They're not prepared in the South. So Texas doing that, I get it. Because you've got to prepare. Because if it happens again and you're an elected official, you're going to get shit for it.
Yeah, but my thing is, it's not going to happen. You know, when have we had back to back?
That's why you're not an elected official.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, that's totally what that'd be my platform. Come on, guys, it's not going to happen. It's like, show me historically when we've had back to back snowstorms in Texas,
especially San Antonio
and Austin. You know, I grew up in San Antonio, and I think I was in second or third grade when it snowed 13 inches in San Antonio. Never saw snow again in San Antonio until my 20s. So I'm like, it's not going to happen. So I'm just like, this is great. You can say all this stuff. The odds of us having the ice storm and snowstorm that we had this past February is slim to none, in my opinion. But great to come on camera and say all things you're doing to prepare, because it's not going to happen. And you can say all these
things.
Don't listen to Tara.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
Don't listen to, look, Tara can fool you guys because you don't know him. I know him, and he is a preparer. he would be, trust me, winter comes, he's going to be prepared. He's going to have batteries. He's going to have kerosene lamps. He's going to have all kind of shit. He's going to have all kind of stuff. Don't let him fool you. He's saying all this shit right now, but he's going to be ready because I don't believe you.
I got blankets. I got a gas stove. I have plenty of canned goods. I'm good.
See? So you're prepared, just like they're preparing. That's
yeah, I'm
all.
Just saying, I survived 3 days on canned goods and leftover, you know, Popeyes. And those came
over.
Yeah,
you were prepared
then. I'm making some black beans and put some rosemary in. I'm going to hook it up.
You weren't prepared then, but I guarantee you won't
but
be
now
all,
I know.
Unprepared
just,
this
I
next time.
I could totally survive. All I need is some black beans. So
that's what they're doing.
Yeah, still. But still.
Damn it, it sounds like I'm trying to vote for Ted Cruz.
Yeah, yeah. You can support Ted Cruz if you want to. You can do one of the mail-in ballots, but no, I'm not supporting him.
Well, good. I mean, and I appreciate you sticking to the guns. And you're right. You can be in favor, by the way. You can be in favor of them being prepared and still be against Ted Cruz running for re-election and against his re-election as a whole. You know, those two things can exist. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be one or the other. It can be a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But you know what's going to happen, man. Texas is going to Texas. Texas is going to Florida. Texas is going to Flexus. Ted Cruz will be back in office, whether that's his office in Texas or in Cancun, because, you know, it's better than Cabo.
Yeah, apparently.
Speaking of some bullshit, I think we kind of all knew what was about to happen with this thing, but they had to do it. It's for the pomp and circumstance of it. The Jesse Smollett trial. Will you be keeping up with this?
Yeah, I did, because I remember when it happened, everybody immediately took to his side, right? When the whole thing first happened, you know, prayers for Jesse, and all this other stuff. And my first thing was, who the hell is Jesse Smollett? Because I didn't watch the show. I was like, who is this person? I never heard of him.
I watched the show for one season. I'm right there with you. I didn't watch that shit after.
Yeah, I just never watched it. You didn't miss anything. I didn't know what it was. And so then I read the story, and I didn't have this, you know, racial rage and support or even anything towards the LGBTQ. My first question is, why would you keep a noose around your neck afterwards? That just doesn't make sense. And where were you going at 2:00 in the morning in Chicago in the winter?
And who the hell in Chicago knows how to tie a noose?
To go get Subway. But I just thought that
who moved from Alabama to Chicago?
I just thought that whole thing was just odd. But I was just like, all right, yes, let's play out and see what happens. I just thought that was odd. So then it starts to come out that the people that did it were there trying to say, Jess, you paid us to do this. This was a whole stunt. And then watching and listening to some of the stuff from the trial, I'm like, this dude's done. And I mean, it's not like he's going to go to jail or anything for it. He's probably going to pay some fine. But they found him guilty on 5 counts of lying, pretty much. And... But I'm like, why would you go through all this? Why would you set this whole story up? Like, what, you were already on a popular show, you know, so you were already kind of famous. What were you trying to gain out of this?
You know, the thing about this is, I think the trial to me was a joke, right? Because if you're going to find him, man, just find him. I get y'all going to go through the pomp and circumstance and go through the trial for the hell of it. But we knew he was going to be guilty regardless. Whether you believed him or not, you knew he was going to be guilty because the police were like, y'all wasted our time. Okay, that means that he's going to have to pay a fine. He's going to have to spend some money. And that's what this is for. So he's going to have to pay for all that shit that they had to pay for now. But they wasted taxpayer money to go through this trial for what? We all knew he was lying. We realized he was lying. But okay, due process. Let's do it. Here we go. Here it is. They caught him. He's now guilty of lying, and he's going to pay a price. Like you said, probably not going to do jail time, just a fine and whatnot. And right now, women across the country, women across the globe are going, where can we sign up? Because this motherfucker been lying to me forever. Guys, be careful. Run. Hi.
I don't know if it's just the narcissism of people that are entertainers, that you know, they have to feed that machine and get their ego stroked. Mm-hmm. But I just don't understand. Like, I want to ask him, dude, why did you do this? You were already, because he's lost the show. He has the podcast that he does with his siblings that I've not mm-hmm. listened to, but I know they have a podcast mm-hmm. that they do. But I'm like, you had a really good opportunity and the good thing going. Who's going to want to work with you now? And hopefully, right. Hopefully that can change, because we always talk about, you know, it's easy to cancel somebody, but what can they do to...
You always talk about
it. I always say it's easy to cancel somebody, but what can we do to get people back in? If you kick them out of society, how do you welcome them back? What can they do?
So how do you welcome Jussie back then?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't know what he could do. You know, maybe he just needs to go the Meredith Baxter Burney route and just do Lifetime movies.
It's a movie starring him and Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah.
Do a remake of Liar Liar.
Yeah, do a remake of Sex, Lies, and Videotapes with Jesse Smollett, Rachel Dolezal.
Have a new movie called Lie to Me. I mean, there's so many things they can do here.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he would have to do, but it just blows my mind how people just make some really stupid decisions and just ruin themselves.
Well, Terrell, I will say this. We hit the 400, and I know we've got other milestones we want to get, but you don't have to go out and make up stories like this for us to get more subscribers, okay? If we just keep doing what we're doing, we'll be okay. So don't Jussie Smollett this up, okay?
That would be the news headline. Terrell from That Regular Guy's Random Thoughts podcast, here's the link, assaulted by MAGA supporters.
I like how you put it. Here's the link. That's fine. Yeah. Just in case you want to check it out.
Yeah. Just in case you want to check it out. Interviewed by the media, I got the noose hanging and all that, but I got rgrtpod.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment.
Marketing at its finest. Look, there's blood everywhere except around the world. Yeah, so you can read it clearly.
And we were just talking about this on our podcast. What podcast? Oh, rgrtpod.com.
Oh, my God. Hey, make sure you check us out. Every Monday, we drop the audio episodes. Tuesdays, we drop the videos on YouTube. And January 5th, we're back with a Married at First Sight recap. Season 14 in Baston. Mm.
I can't wait.
He's so excited. You see?
No.
Look at that.
No.
Hey, I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRTPod.
Yes. Send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit stories that you find out there, and we'll talk about them on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.